Welcome to the Driving Your Marketing Podcast, where small business entrepreneurs come to discover the strategies, systems, and tools to kick their marketing into high gear. If you want to go from surviving small business owner to thriving entrepreneur, you're in the right place. Let's get ready to roll. All right, this is Eli Delaney with Driving Your Marketing, our Driving Your Marketing Podcast, where we help small business entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, coaches, do all the stuff that they need to do to get their business out there, get it growing, have more fun with it. And I am very excited about today. You know, today, most of the time, we focus on the marketing aspect. I mean, that's the whole point of the name, Driving Your Marketing. But one of the things that tends to get overlooked, as we, most of us are solopreneurs, we work either by ourselves or maybe with just one or two other people, we tend to get overwhelmed and frazzled with everything that's going on in life. And so I thought this would be a perfect chance to bring in today's guest. This is Lynn Durham. She is the author of From Frazzled to Fantastic, Your One Thought Way of Feeling Better. Now, in today's world, we're fast-paced. Everything's complex. We are just, you know, choices. Everything's going on crazy. And Lynn basically comes in, and she's got some really cool stuff to share with us. So, Lynn, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Eli, for the invitation. I look forward to it.
We're definitely going to have some fun with this. So, first off, tell our listeners a little bit about who you are, where you came from, and kind of what your passion is.
I live in New Hampshire, and I'm a nurse. I've taught nursing and studied at the Harvard Deaconess Mind Body Medical Institute, which is why I think some people hire me. What probably gives me more of a right to talk about any of this stuff is the stressors I've had in my life. And I am passionate about wellness. From when I was a kid, I used to hold health camp when I was a little girl at the beach in Connecticut, and I grew up in Lordship. So I've always been focused on this aspect and wanting to help people, and that's why I went into nursing.
Very cool. Now, one of the things that I saw, and this is, you know, for entrepreneurs, we tend to work ourselves to death. I know I'm guilty of that myself. And we end up having, you know, we kind of put the whole health side kind of on a back burner as we're trying to grow our businesses and get things done and accomplish the goals that we're set out for. Now, one of the things I did notice in your email signature says 5 minutes that 5 minutes of remembered anger can depress your immune function for up to 6 hours. Tell us more about that. What exactly does that mean?
That is why I wrote this book about our thoughts. Our thoughts, our bodies, our emotions, they're not separable like we think it is in Western medicine. It's all one. So when we're remembering something, I can do a small guided visualization where I asked you to think about a lemon, and usually with a little bit longer, doing the visualization and the lemon squirting and tasting it in your mouth, and you can really taste that sour flavor, you'll find that your mouth waters. But there's no lemon. There's not even a picture of a lemon. It's just in your mind. So it just shows you the power of your mind to make chemical changes throughout your body. And
so, go ahead.
When you are remembering something that caused you stress, there's a lot of things that happen when we elicit the stress response, and you know it, like in your heart beats faster or your respiration gets rapid. And what you don't know is that you're squirting cortisol in your system, which isn't good for you. The immune function is dropping. The heart variability pattern is changing. Even the telomeres on your DNA are shrinking, making you age faster. And your platelets get sticky, which isn't good if you have any restrictions in your coronary arteries.
So
even though
that's just not good stuff.
A playful place, it's important information.
All right. So everything that you talk about, you know, especially with the basis of the book, is all talking about, you know, feeling good and being in that positive mindset with everything. Now, I was sifting through a couple of the points, and I just pulled a couple of the main points that I got out of the book, and I wanted you to kind of go into some more details with it. One of them, you talk a lot about needing a gratitude adjustment. Now, this is
right.
One that I see. We hear a lot of stuff about celebrating life and having more gratitude, but give us a little bit more detail on how that's going to, you know, why is that so important, and how is it going to help us in relieving the stress and putting us more in that positive mindset so we can be more productive as entrepreneurs?
Well, as I mentioned, the 5 minutes of anger can depress your immune system for up to 6 hours. As soon as you shift into gratitude and something you care about and care, it boosts your immune function. It changes your heart variability pattern when it had moments before been jagged and erratic, and it changes into a more coherent rhythm. And the HeartMath Institute in California has done a lot of work on this, and I have worked with a doctor who was there, and they said, somebody that didn't really believe it, and they said, great, let's use you. So they hooked him up to the machines and told him to think about something that was stressful for him, and he did, and the heart variability pattern was one way. And then they told him to think about someone that they loved or cared about or something he had compassion for, and as quick as that thought, that rhythm changed right before his very eyes. So we know this stuff, but, you know, really to start to practice it, I've got my ABCs of stress hardiness, and the A stands to awaken and attune. As soon as we start to pay attention and we raise our awareness, that's when we can make the shifts. And then the B is to breathe and just be still for a minute. I mentioned that when you're stressed out, your breathing is rapid. The problem is it's not deep enough. There's no oxygen exchange. So you need to pull it way down into the tiny little alveoli, the little air sacs in the lungs. And that's where the oxygen exchange occurs. So our breath work is really important, and I've noticed that that was a time when they've deleted my position because of Medicare cutbacks. I was a single mom and unemployed, and self-supporting seemed like a bad combo to me. I breathed, and that's some of the things as I practice these techniques. I breathed, I moved to focus on my breath, and the poise and composure that I had in that moment really were impressive to me. I didn't know I would be able to do that. And so that's something that nobody can notice. If you're in a meeting or something's not going quite as well as you'd like, to be able to focus on your breathing, to notice, to draw it down, helps to you to move into the relaxation response, which is a separate physiological state. And C is to create and commune, asking what good could come from this, what's good for everybody involved. And the creativeness, that's where you can move into what can I appreciate or with your thoughts, changing and being creative with your thoughts to the things that support you.
So basically you just gave us an exercise you can do. If you're getting overwhelmed and stressed, it's one of those things, you know, stop and just take 5 minutes.
Doesn't even take that long.
Yeah, I mean, you don't even have to take that long. I mean, I know as you're going through, I was sitting here literally as you're telling me what to do. I was following the process, and I already feel more relaxed. So,
well,
you know,
here, I want to take your arm, raise it in the air, and tighten your fist really, really tight.
Okay.
Got it?
Yep.
Are you breathing?
Yeah, it took me a second to focus on that.
You weren't breathing, were you?
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that when we get stressed, we're not breathing. But the awareness is the first step because, you know, when we're not aware of it, as soon as we become aware of it, we can whoosh and let our shoulders down and change our mind. And changing your mind is just so big. And you can think about, you know, you saw that I got the little, you're one thought away from feeling better. So here's one thought. And, you know, one of them, on my stress hardiness, I've got H-A-R-D-Y spelled out, the H standing for making a humor commitment. There's a lot of times when we're in the moment, it doesn't seem that funny. But those are some of the things that we talk about afterwards and howl about and laugh and tell our stories, and everybody else enjoys them too. So I invite people to think, well, I think this is funny later. And if so, think it's funny now. You'll have way more fun.
Very cool. Well, and that's one of those things too. When you're talking about that, you know, thinking about the good and the outcome, I mean, let's real quick, I want to just kind of go through, kind of recap what you just said as far as that adjustment. It's just take a minute or two and stop and be aware of what's going on. Start, you know, just focus on your breathing. And then, you know, with that, keep the thought of what is it you're grateful for. That alone, if you stop and spend a minute or 2 minutes doing that, the stress that's going on in your day could easily just subside. And I've done some exercises. Go ahead.
At the Harvard Deacon's Mind Body Medical Institute, they call that a mini, you know, where you just kind of take that quick break. it just changes everything. It's
very
powerful.
Yeah, and it's very cool because, you know, as small business entrepreneurs, things, you know, as any kind of entrepreneur, you know, one of the defining characters of an entrepreneur is fall down 7 times, get up 8, because we always have things that happen, you know. So when you have that kind of, you know, day, you know, things were just don't fall put together the way they should. This is an exercise that you can do very quickly that just kind of stops and just kind of refocuses what you're doing. Now, one of the things with that is, you know, with that whole fact of things not going the way they are, I found one quote in your book that I just loved, and I'd like you to elaborate on it. The quote that I found was, "With pressure like this, I'm sure I'm a diamond."
Well,
share,
I guess
share some fun stuff about that.
They say that it's the pressure that forms that stone, that precious thing that we love. And so I look at different ways of making it welcoming life and what's there. And people would ask me, but what's your choice? They want something else, but this is what is. So accepting what is just a powerful thing. So if this is going on in your life, what thoughts can you think of that would make it be better? You know, you can just see how strong you are, like tea, you don't know how strong it is till it gets in hot water. Or when you feel like you've been put through the ringer, it means you were just worth washing. Any of those thoughts that just kind of make you laugh or do something to shift your emotions in your body. And all that having been said, too, in the very end of the book, I say that, and also, we need to welcome and be true with what we feel. I'm not just saying to push everything away, because I think that that's one of the tips is welcoming. What if this were okay is a really important question.
Well,
in doing that, we usually relax a little. What if it were? Okay.
So it's a matter of just kind of stopping and saying, okay, what is the good in this? What is the win side of this situation? And once you stop and do that, I know for me personally, I've just like everybody else, we've all had stuff that just kind of pounds us and is like, okay, this did not go the way it should be. But then I've turned around and most of the time, if I've stopped and looked at the good side of it, of, okay, what did I learn? What was the positive outcome of this? All of a sudden, I find out that what I thought was a failure or a negative aspect in my world turned out to actually be a great positive because it brought something even bigger into my world. So, I mean, what do you think about that?
I'm totally in alignment with you, Eli. In fact, my next book is going to be The Benefit of Belief in Blessings. As soon as we start to look for them, we'll find them. But if we don't look, we won't see them. And I installed a roof ridge vent on my house, and I have had columns, and so people that were reading my columns and all my talk about breathing, I'm sure were glad that my house could breathe. But driving down the street afterwards, there's a lot of houses with roof ridge vents. You know, after a certain age, they're all there, but I never saw them. And that's what I think happens. When we look into a microscope, all we see is a big white circle. But as we continue to look and we turn the knob, all of a sudden a whole world comes into view that was always there, but it was just out of focus. So I invite people to turn their blessings into focus and raise that awareness of what is good around them, because we're really good at that childhood game of what's wrong with this picture. We point out every single thing. But when I've done an exercise in a class and I've asked people to write down something that they're grateful for, and we're going to do 20, and we're going to pass the paper. So I thought it would give them opportunities to see others that would spark interests. And the paper got stalled. People couldn't think of 20 things for which they were grateful. And I ask, in fact, I suggest a blessingometer, which is one of those little clicker counters, little tally counter, and that they go through their day and look for things that they're grateful for, and then click the counter and see if they can do more each day, or spend their morning or before they go to bed, instead of worrying about things, think about the things for which they are grateful and list them. And it just makes a difference.
Yeah. Well, and that's one of the things that kind of reminds me of a lesson that I actually learned from Dan Sullivan. He's from Strategic Coach, and I had the opportunity to meet him not too long ago, probably about a month or 2 months ago. And one of the exercises that he talks about is every day when you start your day, write out what are the things that you're grateful for. And you need to have, you know, you should have at least just list 5 things. Start with that. And if you've got more, great, keep going. But it's amazing because I started doing that because I've journaled for years. But I started actually stopping and doing that as part of my morning ritual. And it's amazing how my attitude just jumped up to a better attitude, no matter where I was. I may have already been good, and it just gave me that extra step to take it even further, to just stop and spend a couple of minutes going through and talking or thinking about the things that I'm grateful for the day. And that has been a major, major impact on what I do for, you know, how my attitude is, how my productivity is. When I go into a meeting, my attitude and my energy is much higher when I do that. If I'm doing, you know, if I'm doing recordings for some of our trainings, my energy on those recordings is much higher. Those are some of those things that, you know, what if you just stopped and spent, you know, that 5 minutes to do that in the first thing in the morning while you're journaling, or, you know, right after your breakfast or whatever time you want to do it, but start your day out with something like that, stopping and just making a list of what are the things that I'm grateful for today. And you'll see an amazing improvement on everything else you do throughout the day.
And don't you see more things than you ever noticed?
Yes, definitely. Yeah. And it's amazing. It's amazing how once you start that process, even if something comes to that you would normally see as a negative or a failure or whatever you want to call it, you start off seeing it that way. But then as you start having this transformation in your mind, you start actually going, oh, well, that didn't work out so well, but here's the cool thing about it. You know,
right,
it's just,
right.
You start thinking that more positive mindset, and the negative things don't affect you as much, and you're much more likely to actually see the positive end of them anyway.
Right.
Very
stressful
cool.
Stressful event, losing weight. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to.
Yeah.
A lot of times, it can take a big thing, too. You notice on the news when there's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
They'll interview one person, maybe it was a tornado, and she lost her house and all her belongings. And she's distraught. She doesn't look like she'll ever be happy again. And they turn and they interview someone else, and this woman has also lost her house and all her belongings. And she says, I'm so thankful that none of us was hurt. I can't believe the way the community pulled together and was so supportive to me. Perfect strangers have come in and just surprised me with how wonderful they've been. And so she's focusing on what's good in the midst of the messes. So at every point, we have the opportunity to focus on the misery or step into the mystery and look and see what there is that's still good.
Very cool. And that's the biggest thing is you got to look at the good side of things because that's going to make it – it opens up the world of possibilities for you. You know, you mentioned earlier.
You don't have
earlier.
To, though, Eli.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing this forgiveness workshop. This woman came up, and she had been divorced, and she was very angry at him and was bitter and just – I mean, this man had already remarried, and he had gone with his life. So I said to her, okay, well – you could forgive him and move on with your life, or let's see, what else could you do? And she thought for a minute, and then she smiled, and she said, or I could be bitter, angry, and depressed. I said, yes, that's right. You can forgive him and move on with your life, or you can be bitter, angry, and depressed. And remember what happens with that I just was talking about with your body. So it's your choice always. I have a little thing, you know, the next one in the R is reconcile or release. And the little limerick, there once was this tale of this guy who stored his grudges sky high. He poured poison in a cup and he drank it all up and expected the others to die.
That's funny. I've never heard that one before.
Yeah.
All right.
Limerick. I've heard a quote that's similar, but.
Yeah, that's good. I like that. All right. So one of the other things I noticed in the book was you talk about moving towards obstacles, and that tends to be totally backwards to what a lot of people tend to think they should be doing, is they should be avoiding the obstacles. So kind of explain that a little bit more and see if we can enlighten people to a new way of thinking about that.
Well, in the book, I went whitewater rafting, and so that is what the story is about. The person running the raft, the leader there, said that if you come up against a rock, move quickly toward it. Because if you don't, it will come up under the raft and it will dump truck, which means throw you all into the river. And so even though it's counterintuitive, if you have something, an obstacle, it's something that you have to deal with. You've got to deal with it. So do it, get it over with, and get on with your life. And I won't say that I'm perfect with any of the things that I talk about. You know, you teach what you need to learn. I have to keep practicing. It's like, oh, I need to reread my book, listen to my tapes, and follow my instructions. It's not always the easiest or the most comfortable thing that we want to do, but as soon as we've done it, it's done, and we're so glad it's behind us. And that's what the toward the obstacles is.
Yeah, and then one of the things, too, is that a lot of times, what was it Mark Twain says, that I've had millions of, or thousands of things that were going to go wrong that never happened, or something
exactly,
to that effect.
Exactly. Right.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we find, that we tend to procrastinate or we avoid things because we're afraid of the worst, when if we just, you know, just dealt with them, just went ahead and put them off. You know, it's kind of like Brian Tracy says, eat that frog. You know, what's the worst thing you can do? Start with that, because once you've done that, everything's uphill from there.
Right.
And that's one of the things that, you know, as entrepreneurs, we tend to have that. We tend to, because of the fact that a lot of times we are, you know, we have to be self-reliant. We have to be independent. We have to be disciplined in our, you know, in our schedules. And do I need to make these calls today in order to get the sale? Do I need to write this article? You know, whatever those things are. And you're like, oh, I just don't want to do it, or I don't want to make that phone call because what if they say no, all that kind of stuff. And it's all a matter of, you know, what are those things that are holding us back? Because if we just do them, just focus and say, okay, I got to get it done, let's do it, and then you do it, then 90% of the time you find out that once you got it done, it wasn't near as bad as you thought it was going to be, and most of the time it actually ends up being a positive thing.
Right. Somebody was talking about a waitress serving coffee, and she comes around and asks you if you want coffee. If you say no, she doesn't run back to the kitchen. Oh, no, I got another rejection. You know, and just we have to kind of look at offering our services as an opportunity for them to have a sip of coffee or whatever. And when you were talking also, Eli, I was thinking, we actually don't have to do everything by ourselves. You know, I appreciate that you offered to help me with a little bit of technology earlier, and getting groups like yours, or, you know, you want to write a book, Judith Briles, author you, and, you know, all those different things, so that at least you gather with other entrepreneurs and get their ideas, and maybe I have a skill in making phone calls and you have a skill in computers, and so maybe we could share some of our skills.
Yeah, that's
what... And not have to go it all alone.
Yeah, we do. That's one thing about, you know, I am a big, big advocate for finding masterminds, joining with other people and getting together and seeing, okay, how can we all help together? How can we help all of us rise up? Because every one of us has our own specific skills. And that kind of what you just said brings up a really great point for me. We had a mastermind that we had at one point, and it was really funny because there was one person in there that she kept on saying, I don't know how much I'm contributing, because she wasn't as far from, you know, the technology and the marketing side as where we were, because obviously, I mean, we're the marketing guys. That's, you know, my partner and I, that's what we do. So when it came to their time to give us feedback, she didn't realize that some of the other things, she looked at things from a different perspective. She saw, okay, you know, this is all fine and dandy, but you're missing this one piece. And she didn't realize how valuable that was until that conversation came up. And I'm like, no, you don't seem to understand. Yes, I have the technology and I have the background, but sometimes I'm just too close to it. So mm-hmm. just that feedback alone is a huge help. You know, we've got another example. I'm part of another mastermind right now that just 2 weeks ago, I think, there was one of the guys that was in there. He was talking about some stuff related to his website, and he had spent, I think he said he spent like 6 hours working on this thing for his website. And I was like, okay, dude, why didn't you call me? You know that I could have helped you with this. And he was like, well, I don't know. And I'm like, no, anytime you get stuck on something like this, let me know. If it's something that I can do very quickly and, you know, give you a resource or shoot you a link or something like that, I have no problem with that. You know, there's a possibility there's something that would take more and we might have to do some, you know, coaching or something. But at least ask me the question first. I found out that I had one piece of software that I recommend to people that if he had known about this software to begin with, he would have saved, I think he said, 6 or 7 hours worth of time. Mm-hmm. I told him about that. He was like, I so wish that I had asked you to begin with. I'm like, yeah, this one piece of software would have cost him $100. That alone would have saved him 7 hours worth of time. Mm-hmm. And it's all a matter of, you know, finding those people that have those other resources and sharing and collaborating, which is a big, big thing I'm always about. So I love that you kind of brought that up of we don't have to go it alone.
Right.
As entrepreneurs.
That's the D in Hardy is developing others and yourselves. I think that no matter what kind of work they're in, there's probably some organization or association that they can join so that there's others that are like them that can give and share tips and techniques. I know I'm in the National Speakers Association, and that's helpful because, again, there's a lot of solopreneurs, as you call them, in that organization as well. And just the energy that you get is just very powerful. And developing yourself and learning is good for your health, good for your brain cells, and developing others. I talk about, you know, forgiveness is a selfish thing to do. Service is a selfish thing to do. When you go out and help others, you actually get a helper's high, which is, again, physiological. They've found that people that go out and volunteer are healthier longer, physically as well as mentally and emotionally.
Very cool. And that kind of brings me to one of the other points that I was going to bring up already was, one of the spots in there, you have the question, and I love this question, and I'm very, very big into this. I think this is the most powerful question in the world, which is, how can I serve? You know, mm-hmm. I always phrase it as, how can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
Give me your thoughts and ideas on that one, because that's a big one for me. I tend to really promote that being the most powerful question you can ask anybody.
It's kind of like magic. I don't know if it's like bread upon the waters, but when you do things for others, you benefit in many different ways. I just talked about the physical ways. But I think that this just the way the world works, I can remember the Shaw brothers talking about things don't go back and forth. They go in a circle. So even if I help you, I may not get service back from you, but it may come from a different area. And I think that that's really important. It's just like pay it forward.
Yeah.
Practicing random kindness.
Yeah, and it's such a powerful thing because it's, you know, if you look at it from a marketing standpoint, and you know, I always take the marketing slant on everything. That's when, you know, I see people that are afraid to sell their services. They're afraid to really get themselves out there because they have that connotation that sales is
a bad thing.
Yeah, that's a four-letter. They think sales is a four-letter word,
mm-hmm.
and they've got that ingrained, but they do have to sell their products. But it's a matter of, don't look at it as, I want you to buy my stuff. Look at it as a, how can I help you? What do
exactly.
I have? You know, what am I there to provide value to you?
How can they be so selfish as to keep their secrets to themselves?
Exactly. That's what it's all about. Because we go into this assuming that everybody in this, you know, everybody who's listening to this, all the entrepreneurs that are into these kind of programs and that have their business, that they've got a great product that's there to help people. You know, obviously, if you don't have a great product that's not there to help people, you need to get out of business, find something else.
Exactly.
So that's kind of the given. So we're going to go with the fact that you've got a great product or a great service. You're there to help other people. You are there to provide value. So it's your obligation to get that out there and share that with the world and help as many people as possible. You know, I mean, my goal is big. I want to help 5,000 entrepreneurs grow their businesses. That is my big goal.
one of the little tips I have is called Beyond Z.
Mm-hmm.
It's a creativity thing. When I was coaching a company CEO, and he was kind of agonizing over this and that, and I said, hey, what about G? He's like, okay, now what are you talking about? Because I give him different angles, like you mentioned that woman that was in your group,
mm-hmm.
a new way of looking at things. And I said, well, you're only looking at A and B. What about C, D, E, F, G? And I challenge people to go on beyond Z, which means 26 letters of the alphabet plus one. So they got to come up with 27 ideas to the solutions of anything. And that's resting in the solutions as opposed to keeping your eyes on the barriers. Because the barriers get bigger when you look at that. But if you look beyond that and then you try different ways to solution, to get around, under, over, through, whatever. And a woman wrote back to me, it was so great, and said, we practice your Beyond Z method. My husband and I were having financial difficulties, and I said, we have to come up with some ideas. And I said one, and he said that wouldn't work. And then another, he said it wouldn't work. And then I said, well, you come up with some. And he didn't want to come up with, you know, because I told him he had to come up with 27. And he says, no, I don't have time for that. He says, well, then I invoked the magic name of Lynn Durham. And we sat down, and we actually started to make this list. And in doing so, the energy that she had shifted. Moments before, she was a victim to her circumstances. And as she began to write the list, she said that everything changed, and she started to have a power over as she was looking at the solutions in the different ways. And she says, and if we two educated, talented people couldn't come up with it, what could we expect from our children? We needed to model this for them. And she said the power she felt was just amazing.
Very cool. And that was just a brainstorming process.
It is. And the beginning of that was a real problem. That's why I do the Beyond Z, because when we suggest something and somebody says, that'll never work,
mm-hmm.
not only does it make it so I don't want to submit another idea, but other people in the room that are looking are afraid to bring out their baby ideas that they're going to be stepped on. But if you have to come up with 27 of them, that's a lot. So actually, I don't care if it won't work. When you say something, I'm like, okay, 26. And you just collect them all. Just welcome them all and then look them over and see which are the best ones. We don't have to say this one won't work because we don't have time to do all of them. We're going to focus on the ones that we think are the best.
Right. Well, and I'd like to kind of change to put that into a perspective for, you know, look at like the possibility, you know, as this whole show is about marketing, you know, look at, okay, if we could come up with, you know, 27 different ways that I can market my business and just start with making a list. Don't worry
right.
about if it'll work or not work or
exactly.
if you think you've got a budget for it or whatever it is. Just put it out on the list because you start that, get that spark going, and then you can go back and say, okay, here's the one I'm going to focus on.
And crazy
that kind
ideas
of,
can make you laugh, and that's good too. I actually used that with my youngest son. I don't even remember what the issue was now, but I do remember the good time that we had coming up with this list. And he suggested I could buy him a car. And at the time, we both knew that it really didn't seem too logical, but it made us laugh. And
mm-hmm.
in that laughter, it broke the tension and made everything much better. Because laughter is very powerful.
Very cool. And it makes it fun. You know, that makes it, if you go through a process like that, especially if you're working together, say it's with a partner, even having, you know, your spouse or your family help you with something, you know, employees, if you've got employees, but creating that fun environment with it, you're going to have some fun with it. It's going to make you laugh. It's going to make you be more lighthearted. And then because of all of that, chances are that idea that you thought wasn't going to work, you might have a new twist on it that makes it go, oh, wait a minute, that might
exactly.
actually work.
And who do you want to work with? You want to work with people that are grumps? No. You know, you're going to get more business if you're pleasant.
Of course, definitely.
And
all
also, right. you have less pain when you're laughing. I had broken my arm one time, so I was asking the physical therapist, I was like, ow, ow, ow. You know? And I said, do you have a funny story for me? And she said, oh, yeah, I was walking in BJ's, big box store.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, I felt something dragging at my foot. course, as speakers, we think it might be toilet tissue as we walk across the main stage. But she looked down, it was a pair of her underpants. Apparently, it was a bit of dryer magic had caught in her pant leg. And as she walked, it worked its way down and came out on the store. So she said, so I swooped down, I picked it up, and I put it in my pocket, and I didn't look at anyone so no one would see me. So that's, I said, oh, gee, I should save that for my stress tips. I didn't realize if you didn't look at them, you couldn't be seen. I could have used that at a number of occasions. But
that's
anyway, somebody told her she could be grateful that she wasn't arrested for shoplifting, that they were clean, you know, so focusing on the good things. And what really made me laugh and made that session go better with less pain was when she said somebody asked her after she told the story, how did it come off the other leg?
That's funny. That is really funny. All right. So I got one last thing that I really want you to touch on is in the book you talk about experimenting, looking at things as an experiment in your life.
Right.
Kind of
right.
Give us some thoughts and ideas on that.
I tell a lot of different suggestions. And that people don't have to trust me on any of this. Just test it. See if it works. Alan Klein, who wrote Positive Power of Humor, I believe it is, and he tells about a time when he was with his wife who was dying of cancer, and they just used humor as a mini vacation, a power over what was going on in their life. So test the humor. Look at the appreciation and just try it out. See if it makes a difference for you when you're in some kind of circumstance, if you can shift into something in your mind, something that you care about or have compassion for, and then go back to the situation that you're in. Try letting go of things. I like Hal in the Sedona method. Here's a test. Pick up a pen and squeeze it in your hand. And you squeeze it really hard. How does it feel? Tight. Now open your hand and let the pen roll around. And looking at that as an emotion, it's not you, it's an emotion. And then he invites people to turn it over. And as soon as you turn it over, it drops out. And that's something that we can release it. If you're having a difficult time and you reach out to help somebody else to do something special, then you find out that the power there is in that service piece. And the end of Hardy is why, and I said, saying yes to life. Such as it is, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. And that's, I don't know if you got to my cow plop theory.
Just briefly.
If there's a cow plop, it doesn't matter if you wish it were a birthday cake. It's still a cow plop. You can ice it. The candles in it and light them, it's still a plop. So what you have to do is love and accept it for what it is. It's fertilizer. And somehow maybe this is going to help me bloom and grow. And all life isn't about our financial success, our professional success, our social success. I think it's all about soul growth. And if that's the case, then some of our most difficult times have given us the tools to help us jump further along that path.
Very cool. Awesome stuff. So a couple of things, just before, you know, as we're starting to wrap up here, if you can give everybody one tip that's going to help them, you know, relieve the stress and become more focused in what they're doing for their business, what would that one tip be?
On what it is that they're, for their business, there's so many different ones. If they just, I think, to pay attention, to be aware of what's going on for them in their mind and in their body and in their spirit. If this isn't, as you pointed out, if this isn't something that they really feel is good for other people, it's going to be difficult to share it. That's kind of a spiritual piece of it. You know, our body gives us warning signs. You know, I mentioned the rapid pulse and the breathing, but, you know, it's like, who's the pain in the neck? You know, sometimes you have behavioral things where you eat too much or too little, or sleep too much or too little, or you get angry. So watching all those things and helping our mind and our body and our spirit to be the compass to direct us and where our true mission, what we were really meant to do, I would think that that would be the thing that I would leave people with. Raise your awareness and tune in to your mission in life.
Very cool. And that's one of the things that I'm always, I'm very big in. What is your mission? What is your passion? What is it you're all about? That once you have that crystal clear focus of that, everything else kind of slides off. It's so much easier. So thank you very much, Lynn. I want to thank you for sharing some great information. And I hope that everybody listening to this really took a lot of notes and really takes this to heart because, you know, like I said, as entrepreneurs, we tend to get overwhelmed. We feel like we have to take on the world by ourselves. And there's so many simple little things out there that can help us alleviate that stress of being in that position where you can just, you know, you can be who you are, you can love what you do, you can be passionate about it. You don't have to be Superman in the same time. You know, it's a matter of just getting focused on the right things, focusing on the positive, and everything else just kind of starts coming into place.
One of the other things you mentioned, Eli, was the balance, that finding time to be with friends is not an extra, it's good for you. Finding the things that you love, whether it's dancing or knitting or whatever it is that you play golf, or to put those things in your life, they nurture your spirit and they're very positive for you. Anything, creativity, playing an instrument, painting a picture, it's awesome for you.
Very cool. All right, so the book is From Frazzled to Fantastic. How can everybody get a hold of that book? Because I haven't finished the entire thing yet. I've gone through most of it, and I love it. I highly, highly recommend everybody pick it up. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you and how they can get the book.
Okay. Frazzled to Fantastic is on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and through your booksellers. And if you want to send it directly to me and ask me to sign it, I would be happy to. $15. If you want to send a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you a free Prescription for Joy bookmark, and that would be to Lynn Durham at P.O. Box 536 in Holderness, New Hampshire. I'm right up near Golden Pond, Holderness dot New Hampshire, 03245.
And we will put that on the website, too.
And my website is lynndurham.com, LynnDurham. There's a sign up there for additional information that I can send you. And if you email me, smile@lynndurham.com, I can send you a welcome wellness booklet.
Very cool. And I've got that welcome booklet. It's got some really cool stuff in it as well. So we'll make sure that we get all that information on the show notes as well. And definitely, let us know if there's anything we can do. Connect with Lynn. She's got some great stuff to be able to help you out with everything. And just get in that right positive mindset. Get away from being frazzled and frustrated with life and start feeling fantastic. So thank you, Lynn.
Thank
I really
you.
Appreciate it. You have an awesome day, and we'll talk to everybody later.
All right. Thanks. I appreciate it so much, Eli.
Hey there, this is Eli again, and I got a question for you. Do you have a roadmap for marketing your business? If you're consistently looking for new marketing ideas just to keep your business going, then you need to check out smallbusinessmarketingroadmap.com and download the free special report that I created to help you create a marketing plan that will thrive in any economy. Again, that's smallbusinessmarketingroadmap.com. Go get it, read it, and start the road trip of your lifetime. See you on the other side.